champions.
We are the best at sitting in a comfy chair and telling the entire sports world what they should have done and what they should be doing later. Putting it simply, all right, everybody. It is time once again for the Armchair Champions. I'm here with Evan Hall, and I am Jason Walker. So we've got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. We're going to talk some NBA because finally it has started. The NBA, I've been waiting a long time for this.
It's an interesting start.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting couple days to start off the season, but...
Yeah, and I was disappointed because the Jazz lost, my boys, they lost. But you know what? It's still one of those moral victories, which I absolutely hate.
They were without a couple people, too, though. So.
Yeah, and that's why it was a moral victory. But I hate the term moral victory nowadays because it's just like, we still lost, and that is terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. But it's not the worst thing in the world. So we're going to get into the NFL, though. That's what we're going to be doing today. For this section, if you want to listen to us talk about the NBA, then you can listen to our other little podcast that we're going to be doing, and it'll be posted about the same time, and so you can go check that out if you're a fan of the NBA as well as the NFL, like me. So, week 7 of the NFL was pretty exciting. There's just, every time I think there's something consistent, it gets thrown out the window, it gets thrown in my face.
At least this year.
Yeah, this year. Definitely. It's just the only consistent thing I've been able to hang on to is the Patriots. They've been basically a really consistent team. They've played well. They had one hiccup against the Bills, and it's easily explainable. They were starting a third-string rookie. Other than that, they've been really consistent and really good. Everybody else, I mean, just inconsistency. And I guess that's just the NFL, is that no team is going to be perfectly consistent every week. Well, there's just been so much. Every time I think I've got a hold of the NFL, I lose it.
Hmm.
I mean, going into the season, we spent a lot of time on our past podcast talking about how messed up the NFC was compared to our expectations.
Oh,
it's not like it's not like it's bad. It's just it's defied our expectations.
Well, there's some, and some of the disappointments are some pretty big offenders, at least from what I personally thought at the beginning of the year they were going to do. So,
yeah. And so we're going to take a look at a few things that we learned from week 7. And the first one really is that the Vikings are not invincible. They definitely have some flaws. And you could have said that before, but now we've seen that they have been exploited. It's really the offensive line is one of their weaknesses. And I made a comment to somebody that really the difference between the Vikings and the Colts is that the Vikings have a really good defense. And Andrew Luck's better than Sam Bradford, but still, that offensive line isn't very good. And the Vikings so far have been able to minimize that mistake. You've seen teams that have been able to minimize the effects of a bad offensive line. And the Vikings have been able to do that, and their defense has obviously helped a lot, but now it caught up to them. They lose the game to the Eagles.
Yeah, and I also think they're not invincible, and yeah, last week... They probably should have won, although the Eagles have been a little bit surprising this year, in my opinion. But anyway, with Minnesota, I will give them credit, though, for very quickly filling in key roles that were left open by the injuries of Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson. Not that the whole team, I think they're better than just relying on two guys, but to fill two very crucial spots very quickly and in time to have a pretty good command over the NFC North at this point. I think that's a credit to them as a team. And yeah, they're not invincible, but I think they've still got some. They've definitely got some more big wins up their road. You know.
Yeah, and that again, I completely agree with. They've done so well in covering up for losing, obviously their best offensive player and their quarterback. It's absolutely amazing. That I think that's a lot of credit to the coaching staff, and the the front office for building a good team that doesn't just rely on a handful of star players.
Yeah. A lot of unsung heroes on that team, I think.
Especially on the defense. Because I've never really heard a lot of the names on the Vikings defense. But they are some of the better players, and part of that's because of my ignorance. I don't have all the rosters of defenses memorized. Except for the Patriots. But another thing that we learned is that, again, I mentioned this, the NFC continues to be a confusing mess. The Eagles were sliding. I thought, okay, maybe they're being exposed. Maybe they aren't really what they thought. Then what the heck? They beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay. So are they credible now suddenly? It's just like every time we see some sort of, you know, new reveal, it gets changed. The Falcons, they started out really well. They were 4-1. But now they're doing their best reenactment of last year, where they started 5-0 and then finished 3-8 to miss the playoffs. And it's just, what's going on?
Yeah.
Everything we think is true is being thrown out the window. Yeah.
Although I would say that Matt Ryan having a much better year, I think, at least.
Yeah,
he's QB rating and yards and everything else. So, they do need to keep that momentum because they're in a good spot to make a playoff run, obviously. But they gotta get out of their funk.
Yeah. So. And here's something I wanted to bring up that you made me think of, is that Matt Ryan's having a really good year. I happen to be looking at the passing yard leaders. A couple of days ago, and I noticed something I thought was very interesting. And that is, you go down the list of the leaders in passing yards, and even like the yards per game, the quarterback ratings, the top quarterbacks in each of those categories are not on good teams. So Matt Ryan is leading in passing yards. Drew Brees is second. Then you've got Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, Philip Rivers, Kirk Cousins, Eli Manning, Matthew Stafford, Joe Flacco, Derek Carr.
Flacco and Manning being the only ones that have been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If my memory is correct.
And a lot of these guys, if they're on winning teams, which not all of them are, they're middling teams, you would think, at this point. I mean, Matt Ryan, they're maybe barely a top 10. They've probably slid out of that. Drew Brees, they're 2-4. I think the Colts with Andrew Luck, I think like 3-4, maybe 4-3, something to that effect.
Yeah, I think 3-4 is from last time I checked.
Cincinnati, I think they're 4-3 or 4-2 or something like that. The Chargers are 3-4, I believe. And you just keep going down the list. These are middling teams that are at slightly above, slightly below, or at 500. You look at the best teams are quarterbacks. I mean, I have to go down. I mean, Derek Carr, the Raiders are 5-2.
Well, I think that might, I don't know, my guess would be that is probably due to having more weapons, at least with the run game, and defenses that have also scored.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, probably what's behind that is just if you have to over-rely on one way to get the ball down the field, that could also hurt you. But, it is surprising.
Yeah, and your conclusion is kind of the one that I came to, is that, you throw the ball a ton. I mean, what have the Saints been doing the past 3 years? Is Drew Brees has been at the top of the passing board, and they've still not done anything. And, I mean, if you go to quarterback rating, it evens out a little bit because you get guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Sam Bradford, Dak Prescott, and Tom Brady all in the top 10, and those are good quarterbacks on the winning teams, at least. So you're doing a little bit better, but I thought it was really interesting. That little study that I, this short
yeah.
observation, I should say, it wasn't really a study. But anyway, other than the Seahawks-Cardinals game, which I don't know how much I want to talk about that. That was a defensive game. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
And a special teams failure.
Yeah. But those kicks, it's not even like it was, I mean, the one close one, and I put air quotes around this close one, was can't remember whoever kicked first and it hit the
cross. This is the Cardinals kicker's name I can't really pronounce.
So he at least hit one of the posts, you know, but the other one, it just wide left. It was just terrible. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, and for Arizona, he was on one of the hash marks, I believe. The Seattle kicker, and again, I can't remember their names exactly, even though I've read both of them in the past week. His was right up the middle, and I'm not lying when I say I could have made both of those kicks. I say that in perfect confidence, and maybe on the outsides of my range as far as legs, but I've kicked field goals, and I'm no kicker, but I'm above average, so I can brag here a little
bit. Just get it above the lineman.
I mean, the only danger I would be in missing those kicks is it getting blocked because I can't kick it high enough and far enough. But I have enough power and accuracy to get it from both of those places where they were kicking. And they just shanked both of them.
Yeah, that was... That was just, I don't know, bizarre.
It was comical. That's probably the best word.
It's just, but I think the problem, though, goes bigger than just this game is where you have these... primetime games where either someone's just getting blown out or this happened.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good necessarily for at least the league's TV audience, you know.
Yeah, it's not because you have a defensive game like this and people call it the worst game ever. Yeah, there's a couple missed kicks, but is a 6-6 game a bad game? Is it bad offense or good defense?
Yeah, and that's totally the possibility, but I think it's just going to be, anyway, overshadowed by those terrible kicks.
Yeah, it was.
And so even if, you know, one way of looking at it is like, oh, these were defenses that did their job the entire game. It's more just you've got two kickers who couldn't make basic NFL field goals.
You had one job, guys. One job.
You're literally on the field for, like, a few times a game.
You're on the field for approximately 1 minute in a season longer than I am. Yeah. Just letting you know. It's ridiculous. So we're going to move on from that. We're going to talk about some of the more impactful games of week 8 and about why they're impactful. We're going to start in the AFC. And coincidentally, when I was going through like different AFC and NFC matchups, coincidentally, the AFC ones are between AFC teams. And the NFC ones are between NFC teams.
Oh.
Highly coincidental. I didn't think that was going to happen. I did it pretty much unintentionally. Because they do actually play, you know, guys in the other conference. Which is one of the reasons that I think baseball is kind of dumb is that they don't play all the teams in 162 games. And I constantly am in debates with my dad and older brother about that. That you should play every other team in 162 dadgum games. The NBA doesn't half that. Anyway, rant over. So we're going to start in the AFC. And these are less impactful than the ones in the NFC. And you'll know why after hearing the AFC versus the NFC ones. But the first one is the Patriots against the Bills. They're going to be in Buffalo. And the reason this is impactful, I mean, yeah, this could very well be a blowout. It might not be because the Bills, every time as a Patriots fan, I think, oh, we're going to kill the Bills. They make it interesting. And they sometimes win. Which is really annoying. Even though Tom Brady has 25 wins over the Bills, he could set a record or tie a record with Brett Favre for most wins over a single NFL team in a career.
Wow.
Fun fact. Brett Favre beat the Lions 26 times.
Okay, good. I was sweating there. I thought I was like, oh, crap, my Bears.
No. Dude, it's the Lions. Come on.
There we go.
What team has been that bad over the entirety of Brett Favre's career?
Not exactly the Bears, but I was still back of my mind wondering.
They were at least good at some point.
Yeah, I mean, but it should be a good game if the Bills bring their stuff because.
Yeah, and they can.
Yeah, and, you know, you look back earlier into the season, obviously New England was starting a third string QB. But if the Bills continue playing the way they were then, you know.
I mean, they went on a 4-game win streak.
Yeah.
They did pretty good.
An upset would be very interesting.
Yeah, it would make things really interesting because, and this is one of the reasons why it's so impactful, is if the New England wins this game, they've basically won the AFC East.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
They'll be 7-1. That's going to be. Most of the rest of the teams in the AFC East will be lucky to get 2-7 wins, and the Patriots will have done that by the time they get to their bye week.
Well, I mean, yeah, and the Bills have been the only AFC East team that has challenged them at all. I mean, you look at how just bad the Jets are and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And it's just the Bills are the only thing that could make the AFC East interesting at this point.
Yeah, and so for every other AFC contender, they're looking to this game and saying, come on, Bills, do something interesting. And so that's one game. If the Patriots handle it, they basically got their division. If the Bills win, then things do get interesting for the AFC and especially the AFC East. So moving on to really another similar situation to the Patriots and Bills, we have the Chargers at Broncos. 2 weeks ago, the Chargers knocked off the Broncos in a bit of a surprise. And should the Chargers manage to do this again, then that's really going to almost could possibly end Denver's hopes for a number one seed, because they'll be two games behind the Patriots, assuming the Patriots win I mean, this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, in my opinion, the AFC West has been almost the opposite in the sense of the AFC East, in that you've got four teams. I mean, yeah, the Chargers are probably struggling the most out of the four, but they still have played decent football.
Yeah.
And you've got Chiefs and Raiders who are just working their way up, getting close to Denver, at least over the past couple of years, especially the Chiefs. And, you know, another Broncos loss to a division opponent could make it interesting, an interesting playoff picture. I think the Chiefs would probably be in a better position to challenge them after a loss like this. But
The Raiders, I believe they're 5-2 right now. That would put them in the division lead if they were to win their game this week.
But what's cool is that, both so far these impactful games, it really either way it goes, it could be big.
Yeah, so definitely there is a lot more interesting things happening in the AFC West, and a Chargers win would perhaps blow it open. Now, our next AFC, the Jets versus the Browns.
This is going to be a big game.
Yeah.
You will not want to touch your dial. This is the showdown.
Everybody watch this game. Yeah. It is super important to the history of the NFL. It is the quintessential game. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't keep that going. I just can't.
No. Although I will say, though, the Browns organization has not returned my 200-person signed petition to have me become their quarterback, which they're foolish to do at this point.
So from all the reports I've heard, it's going to be Josh McCown.
Yeah.
I read
which
that
is which is ridiculous, because I'm ready to go. I'm a body on the field.
I don't know. You might want to skip out on one of the games to watch the World Series, though.
That's true. I don't know how I'd feel suiting up for a Cleveland team at this point.
You'd basically be dooming the rest of your life. I was one of 49 quarterbacks that they started.
We have alumni reunions, you know. Oh, yeah, you were there in 2016.
So. My gosh, they're going to need a reunion for all the quarterbacks they've played. Haven't they played like 5 or 6 this season?
At least 5.
Like, not necessarily started, but like played 5 during games and stuff.
Oh, it could be 6.
Yeah.
Started? At least 5.
Yeah.
Over the past little stretch.
And they've played, what, 6, 7 games? Gosh.
Everybody gets a turn. Browns QB.
All right. So we're going to move to the NFC. And like I said, things are much more exciting as far as the possibility of it being a close matchup, because both those AFC games could turn out to be blowouts. And so these ones, heck, they could still be blowouts, but at least they could be a lot more interesting. So the first one, and it's one I'm actually looking forward to, I would say this is the game of the week. And that is the Eagles at Cowboys. So, like we said earlier, the Eagles kind of regained their legitimacy, you might say, after sliding for 2 games by beating the Vikings. The Cowboys, they're the surprise of the year. I mean, and you look at it, these two teams are 2 of the better teams in the NFC. And another news, hell is frozen over.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be a really good game, I hope. I'm hoping it's not going to be a blowout, because I feel like every time we say this is the game of the week, anywhere, it ends up being a blowout. I just feel like that happens way too much.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago when we were looking at the Eagles as part of a group of undefeated teams, you know, I figured they would probably be the first to drop out of that category. But them beating Minnesota, I don't think wasn't totally beyond prediction. I think they're a surprisingly good team in a city that has needed a good team for a while. But the Cowboys, though, with their rookie quarterback Prescott, who is phenomenal Or at least, you know, really getting the job done, which is all you can really ask of a quarterback, but doing it every game and winning.
Yeah, and he's been doing more. He's not a game manager. You look up there, he's doing well in most of the statistical categories.
Seven touchdowns, so that's like, what, one a game at least?
Yeah, and he's got some rushing touchdowns as well. He broke Tom Brady's record for most passes to start a career without interceptions.
Just under 1,500 total passing yards. So, I mean, in only one interception thrown after seven, or I don't know how many weeks he's been playing.
It's six or seven. Six. I don't know if they've – I think they just had their bye week, so I think it's been six.
Okay, so six. So that should be interesting. I think if Prescott leads the Cowboys to a win over the Eagles, he should probably just keep the starting position, even if Romo gets better. I just think.
Oh yeah, I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. They need to dump Tony Romo, and trading him is a lot harder than you'd initially think because there's a lot of cap issues. But Dak Prescott's their guy, and they need to go with him, even if he turns out to be terrible next season. You still got to roll the dice. Because he's got a better chance of being good than Tony Romo does for you 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
Because 3 years down the road, I'm going to be throwing as many NFL passes as Tony Romo.
Yeah. So I think whoever wins that game, you know, give them a good look about being a playoff surprise team, I think.
Yeah. So the next game is the Packers at Falcons. So the Falcons, like the Eagles were last week, they're fighting for their legitimacy again. They're on a slide. They started 4-1. They're 4-3 now. And beating the Packers would be a really good thing for the Falcons because it would reestablish that, hey, we're actually a good NFC team. We just had a bit of a slide there. Instead, if they lose this game and their schedule, I can't remember exactly, but I believe it gets harder from here over the next few games. And so if they don't win this game, they're just going to slide. They're going to keep going, and people are going to be saying, well, there's last year all over again. They're going to miss the playoffs and all that and that. And Matt Ryan is completely thrown out of the MVP conversation, even if he throws for 7,000 yards. Because they'll just be a terrible team.
Yeah. I know we just got out of a little segment here where we were talking about, you know, good quarterbacks on bad teams, but I think Atlanta still has it in them to be a pretty good team. But this is this game, Packers at Falcons, this is going to be kind of a tale of two quarterbacks almost in a sense. You have Rodgers over at Green Bay really struggling in a lot of categories. Just even with that win against the Bears last Thursday, this is still kind of a struggle stretch for him. And I don't think he's totally gotten out of that. Versus Matt Ryan, who's pretty much been on fire this whole season. So with that, I think the Falcons come out of this, especially it being a home game. But you're right; it doesn't get too much easier after this because they're at Tampa Bay, at Philadelphia. They take on the Cardinals that week, and the next week that shouldn't be too hard. But then they play the Chiefs, Rams, Niners, Panthers, and then Saints. So there's going to be a tough stretch there, at least in the middle few weeks of that season that they're going to have to really adjust for, even if they win this game.
Yeah, and so this is going to be a really key game for them to, you know, move forward. And obviously the Packers, they want to win this because, well, they want to win as many games. And for this is a good opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to get a little bit back on track because that Falcons defense is not very good. I feel like the Packers are one, or the Falcons. Did I say Packins?
Packins.
The Packins.
They join forces when they're both organizations are running out of money.
Due to a scheduling error, the Packers and the Falcons are combining, and they will play.
The Packins.
And they will play the Eagles.
Falcons jerseys, Packers helmets.
Oh my gosh, that would be so ugly.
Ugliest team in the NFL.
That's uglier than those Packers throwback jerseys. I'm sorry. And about as bad as those Steelers throwback jerseys.
Some of those Color Rush ones, though, aren't.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs in all white? Nah.
Yeah, no. There was somebody. I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was somebody on the Jaguars. I think it was Blake Bortles. Said that they were ugly as heck. Although he used a different word than I did. But it's just, I agree with that. Because I don't like most of the Color Rush uniforms. There's some that I think I can like. Like when the Falcons wear all black, I think that looks cool.
But it's just supposed to be two-tone, though, I think.
Yeah,
this game just looked better with two colors.
Yeah, because when the Patriots wore the all blue, I was just like, eh, no.
Yeah, just looks like giant footy pajamas. You know, it's just solid block of color.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Anyway, yeah. So moving on, we're gonna finish up with some other impactful news and talk a little bit about its impact. First off, CJ Anderson, from what I read today, he's gonna be going to the injured reserve. He's going to have surgery on a torn meniscus. So once again, my fantasy team is screwed. I've already lost Adrian Peterson. This might even be the same team. I can't remember. So I don't know. No, it's a different team. Never mind. So I've now lost a starting running back on two fantasy teams. Thank you, NFL. I know I should have picked Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and that's quite a few yards a game for Denver that they're going to be missing out. You know, 4.4 yards per carry and about 18 carries a game.
Yeah.
You know, that factors in. So.
And it will. And that's something when I look at Trevor Siemian, he's been good. He's settled basically into the game manager kind of role. He's not been like Dak Prescott, who's been able to really be an efficient quarterback. Carson Wentz, when you look at his numbers, they aren't quite as good. But again, these are all rookie quarterbacks. But Trevor Siemian, he's 30th in yards per game, 23rd in yards per attempt. He is averaging almost 30 attempts per game, which is about the same as Prescott and Wentz. And Prescott is doing better. He's like 5th in yards per attempt. So he's doing a lot better. But still, I wouldn't depend on Trevor Siemian. And now they've lost C.J. Anderson. They've lost really their only dependable offensive threat. Now they've got two wide receivers, but your wide receivers are only as good as your quarterback, basically. There's only so much a wide receiver can do to make his quarterback good, because he can be wide open, the quarterback can still overthrow him. That's just the way it's going to be. And so the defense is going to have to carry Denver, and I mean, they did it all last year, so we're just going to have to see if they can do it again. But the other news that I wanted to go back, unless you had something to say about C.J. Anderson.
Well, I mean, I was just going to look at kind of how, at least with the Chargers, kind of the yards, if I can find that, kind of the yards allowed per game. You know, San Diego, with rush yards, only about 90 yards a game, which is kind of low comparing.
Allowed rushing yards?
Allowed rushing yards.
It's actually pretty good.
Well, I mean, low in terms of the amount of yards they led. I mean, it's good on the defensive side for San Diego. So that's
how many yards. That's the lowest amount that the Chargers have given up as far as rushing.
Their average
is 90 yards a game. That is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, so if you lost a key running, key running power for your team, that's not good news.
No, it isn't. And I mean, he's going to be gone for possibly the rest of the season, or near the end of it, he may be back for the playoffs. Because now with the new IR rule, you can bring him back after a certain amount of time. But that is a big impact. And so we'll see how impacted the Broncos' offense is. You know, their defense will still be awesome. But, and I've said this before, your defense will win you championships, but your offense is going to win you the games to get you to the championship. And so you need to score points.
Yeah.
This isn't like the Bears versus the Cardinals where your defense and special teams will score 21 points. Classic.
Great game. Great game.
Great post game too.
Greatest Monday Night Football game I've ever seen. Maybe I just haven't seen a lot of them, but
there's one that I really enjoyed, but it was a blowout, and it was for the Patriots. It was Patriots Texans back in like 2012.
Oh.
But that was only a good game because it was a blowout in my team's favor. It was a terrible game if you're anybody but a Patriots fan. Anyway, the next one, this is kind of a minor thing. So Raiders linebacker Alden Smith applied for reinstatement to the NFL. He was suspended for substance abuse and things like that. And really this is interesting because if the Raiders can get Alden Smith back to anywhere near his old form, that'd be a big impact. Because once upon a time, he was a defensive juggernaut. Over his first 2 years, he recorded more sacks than anybody ever had in their first 2 years. He recorded 33 and a half sacks, which is like, what is that, 16, 17 per game?
Well,
that's a lot.
Well, with the Raiders,
16 per game, 16 in a season. My bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the Raiders at 5-2 now, making a good show, if they can get him back, you know, that it's going to be a really good division to watch over in the AFC West.
Yeah, and I'm already liking the Raiders. I don't think they're a legitimately top tier team, but they're one of those that I believe is heading in that direction. All right, so that's all we got for your NFL today. I hope you all enjoy Week 8 of the NFL. Thank you so much for listening to Armchair Champions. Go check out the NBA podcast that we're going to be posting as well. Thank you very much.